A very special thanks to our $5 fans. Carl Nelson, Da Huyenga, Daniel Jackson, Evren Kiefer, Stephen Fox, Douglas Hank, Brian Walsh, Andrew Anker, Michael Doyle, James Newton, Brendan Adkins,
Georgie Chernichenko,
Jerry Gabra, Jared May, Derek Wood, Dan Liu, and Sean Bonner.
What the hell was that?
What was what?
That was a different voice.
No, it wasn't.
No, in the middle of $5 fans, there was a different voice.
No, there wasn't. Are you on something, Mike?
Yeah.
You're scratching
my last
yourself?
Nerve. You're listening to Let's Make Mistakes.
That was Mike Montero.
And that was Jesse Char.
And only Jesse Char.
Sure. I don't know. I think something's going on.
All right.
How are you?
I'm well. I mean, it's sad outside.
It's not sad outside. It's great. That's the perfect weather out there.
You should move to Seattle then, because it's like that all the time. Like, it just looks like it either just rained or is just about to rain and it's dark.
I would move to Seattle, but I like living in a town with a Major League Baseball team.
So you think are you referring to Uber?
Oh God. Do you want to talk about that today? We were supposed to have a guest.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't have a guest.
It's fine. I'm here.
You're here.
We're enough.
We should be. We used to be enough.
We are enough. Look at us. I'm wearing weird baggy jeans today.
You freaked me out today when you came in.
I'm dressed like an orphan today.
It's like you went to Walgreens and picked up a Merlin Mann outfit.
I look like I'm about to like paint a house or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the sadness outside.
It's like you're not even trying anymore. Wait, didn't you just have a birthday?
I did.
How old did you turn?
28.
That's it right there.
Oh, is that?
Yep.
I've peaked.
You passed the point of giving a shit.
Yeah, I guess.
Yep.
Well, I wore a dress yesterday. I wore a Burberry dress yesterday.
Yeah, but you're not wearing one today.
No, I'm not wearing one today. Mike, you know, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that, you know?
You've always made time for that in the past.
I know. No, I was just feeling particularly lazy today.
So last week's episode got a lot of people liked that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a popular episode.
Yeah.
And then the episode before that.
Yeah.
That was the one where you were all angry.
I was all like, F this, F that.
Yeah. And people liked that.
Yeah.
But now it looks like you've given up. 2 weeks into it.
I'm just wearing pants.
Like, fuck it.
With holes.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
You might as well have come in a tracksuit.
Well, Mike, so I actually do feel like I've reached a new level of my attitude towards everything, which is that like 2 weeks ago, I was angry about the state of mostly like feminist related things in the industry and in the world in general. Something happened on, well, I mean, it didn't happen on the internet, but there was a thing with Uber.
Oh boy.
That recently happened. And I mean, what was it? It was like one of their execs said something shitty and then got a lot of flack for it.
Wasn't it their CEO who said it?
It wasn't their CEO. It was another C level. Another C word. Who said it?
I don't think. Okay, it was a C word.
It was a C word.
A C word, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he he said he was going to start investigating shady reporters.
Yeah.
And he defines shady reporters as people who say bad things about us.
Yeah, which is dumb. It's super dumb. And then
then they reveal that they were tracking people's rides.
Yeah. Also so dumb.
And then today, today, just to, you know, because this whole thing didn't have a flavor of the absurd quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
have you heard this?
No.
Who's an Uber investor, by the way, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have like all the trading cards. He tweeted, "What's so wrong about investigating a reporter?"
No. It's like
That's right.
Okay, that's crazy. I mean, that's crazy. So
here, I want to find exactly what he said. Keep talking.
Yeah. So Mike is going to find out exactly what he said. So that's really bad.
See, I'm doing some investigative reporting right now, which is pretty great.
Well, Uber might start tracking you. What was also disappointing was that the response then from the CEO was that he kind of apologized and he was like, "Hey, that's not what we're like. That message doesn't reflect the way that we feel." But then, like, the C word who said it wasn't fired or publicly reprimanded or anything like that. And so a lot of people reacted and you know, kind of think that that guy should resign because what he said was pretty terrible. And there's been this kind of new trend. Not a new trend, just something that's been happening a lot recently where somebody says something terrible. And then instead of apologizing, they say, "Well, I didn't mean it."
So the Uber guy said this thing. We should find his actual quote.
Yeah, let's find.
All right. Meanwhile, I will read Ashton. So we are now reading tweets to you on. We are now the CNN of podcasting.
No, but I promise I have like opinions to say about stuff that maybe are different than what people have seen on Twitter.
So what is so wrong about digging up dirt on shady journalists? He said.
I'm trying to find it. I just Googled Uber executive and the top news story is a picture of John Hodgman.
Really?
Saying John Hodgman quits Uber over executive's threat to dox female blogger on Jezebel. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny.
Were they actually, are they doing that doxing thing again? You know what I'm going to, so Lyft or Sidecar, Jesse, I'm downloading one of them now.
Oh God, I don't know.
I can't deal with the pink mustaches.
Yeah, I think that there might be more Lyft cars because it's like a bigger company, I assume.
All right, I'll go with Lyft then while you look at that. This is a great episode, by the way. I'm downloading an app. And you are Googling.
You know, I'm not going to Google. People can Google for themselves.
This is like an episode of the talk show.
People can Google for themselves. So, Mike, I said something on Twitter about this. I kind of tweeted my grief over the fact that I think that Uber is, they have a great product, obviously something that I use daily.
Well, you know what? I question that.
Question whether it's great
whether
or not.
Whether they have a great product.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea.
Sure, yeah.
But lately, their app has been shitting the bed.
Yeah.
Like, I'll launch it and it'll put me like 6 blocks away from where I actually am.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Which, you know, that's fixable, but still, that's not the expectation.
Yeah. So maybe, like, let's look at what Uber was a year or two ago.
And
like,
then, right when they. So hold on a second. Sorry. I'm not done complaining, Jesse.
Are you not done reading the internet?
I'm not done complaining. Okay. I am reading the internet and complaining. Okay. These are two things I do very well.
I know.
At the same time. So drivers don't know where the hell shit is.
No.
They don't know how to get there.
No.
This is, you know, for all the crap about taxis.
Mm-hmm.
And so. For our listeners in New York, New York seems to have like really fantastic taxi service. Like, I don't know the internal politics of the thing, and I'm sure that you people have a million complaints about it. But I know that if I'm in somewhere in Manhattan, and a cab eventually pulls up.
Mm-hmm.
There are
a lot of cabs.
Yeah, there are a lot of cabs. Now, I've heard horror stories about those cabs, but I haven't been involved in one. Hey, straight white guy, So the cabs there seem to work. And yeah, I did just check my privilege.
Checked.
But the taxis here suck in San Francisco.
Yes.
The service sucks. Dispatch sucks. They're always trying to get you to pay in cash, which sucks.
Oh, yeah. And they always tell you that their machines are, like, they lie.
Yeah, my machine is broken.
Yeah. They're
I did not use an accent when I said that, by the way.
No, because on all of them, even taxi drivers of all accents make up excuses about why they can't take credit cards. And Uber, I mean, you know, maybe like their app has its problems and some of their drivers have their problems, but it's great. It eliminates the kind of weird political aspect of dispatchers, which I've heard terrible things about. It's a really safe way for me to get around the city without waiting on a corner in the dark for a cab to maybe come in 15 to 20 minutes. And it really changed the way that I've been able to kind of get around the city. I don't have a car. I don't have a driver's license. And so it's been really, really awesome for me. And so that's why I kind of, what I was talking about yesterday was like, I don't understand why when they have this very great idea and such a popular product, why they need to do all these weird Machiavellian things. Like they have a lot of smear campaigns against Lyft and, you know, there are rumors about how they poach drivers and block Lyft users. And I don't know, it's just like, they seem to do a lot of shady stuff. Like generally their reputation is to be a little hard.
They do not have a good reputation.
No, they don't. You know, they keep on doing these weird things. There seem to be a lot of kind of company communication issues, public communication issues. They get a lot of flack for stuff, and they don't do a lot to make up for it. And that's the part that is a little perplexing to me. And like at the base level, I wonder if it's just that they have a shitty PR team who like sucks at writing apology letters from the CEO and being able to maybe like do a little bit of damage control, because they just don't do any damage control. They just seem to make it a little worse.
It's not their PR team. Shit like this comes from the top.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was a PR team, it would have happened once mm-hmm. and then been fixed.
Yeah.
But it happens from the top.
Yeah. So
hey, look, I'm all signed up for Lyft.
Good job.
It's great.
But then what kind of ended up happening was like this big pile on where the people of the internet got mad about it, and they decided to let everybody know that they were mad, and everybody talked about how they were mad. And I saw some people shaming others for using Uber, and
that's just stupid.
Which is so stupid, and kind of making accusations of the company that were aside from what actually happened. And that's, and it kind of got
like
derailed. I mean, just the tone of what people were saying was just like, oh, well, the problem is that everybody sucks at Uber. And it's like, well, that's not really what the problem is.
That's not true. I know people who work there who are delightful people.
Same.
Who are trying to do a very good job and who are capable of doing a very good job.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when you work for horrible people, there's only so much change that you could, you know, that you worked here.
Yeah, exactly. and so, I don't know, I've just as a continuation of kind of what my complaints were about in the Jesse Char Complains About Everything episode of Let's Make Mistakes a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm upset at the way that people who are on my side are agreeing with me in the wrong way.
Oh boy.
I know. It's just, I'm just like a barrel of messed up anger right now. I'm just angry at everybody. I've been reading a lot of books.
Okay.
And there's one author in particular who I've really been enjoying. His name is John Ronson. Have you ever read a John Ronson book?
John Ronson. I'm confused.
Delightful British guy.
No.
So he writes books that mainly focus on people who we perceive to be crazy. So his first book is called Them, and it is It is about him kind of following around conspiracy theorists over the course of several years. And people who we, like 9/11 conspiracy theorists and KKK people and the like. And the thing that I've really been enjoying about this his writing is that he's able to paint pictures of people who we normally write off as totally insane and humanize them.
Would he humanize the KKK?
Yeah.
I don't know that I want the KKK humanized.
Well, and that's, I mean,
I don't want to find the silver lining for them.
Oh, and it's not a silver lining. It's definitely not silver lining because he obviously does not agree with anything that they do. But what's interesting is that I guess in my mind, I think of, I don't know, the KKK and all extremists as...
This just turned into a really scary show.
It is really just, you know what? I'm taking you there, Mike. You think of them as being one particular way.
Jesse Char is now apologizing for the KKK.
No, I'm not.
This has been a really horrible week for Jesse.
I know. But no, it's just, I think that it's a lot more enlightening to listen to what people say, and because it makes your responses so much more meaningful. When you get two sides of something, like I think one of the big issues is that like...
We have got to get you out of Facebook. What is going on?
I'm reading too much. no, but I guess what it is that maybe the KKK is a super extreme example, and that's not even one of the really big parts of the book. It's kind of a smaller chapter. But I think that a problem is that like when you kind of blindly start opposing things that you should oppose, like the KKK, things can get and end up getting a lot more violent and a lot worse and a lot more name-call-y than they really need to be. And I think that actually Gamergate might be an interesting example of that, because what kind of had started happening in that area for a while was that, I mean, the whole point of what I guess my stance on that is that like people should be treated like humans and people should be treated fairly and well. And if one side is not doing that, then the correct response is not to do it back to them if your goal is for things to get better, right? Like, I think that Sam Biddle was like, oh, well, these are just nerds, and that reinforces the fact that nerds should be bullied. And it's funny, but...
Do you really think he believes that, though?
No, I don't think he believes that, but
I think... He doesn't believe that. But I don't think he believes that.
No, I don't think he believes it, but I think that other people kind of do. And I guess what my point is like the way that people have been reacting to this Uber thing, where they are just spouting out kind of ridiculous assumptions about the way that the people there are. Like, I don't know what that's helping.
I'll put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I've used Uber, and I used them just today.
Mm-hmm.
Because, God damn it, they were still installed in my phone and I had to go somewhere at lunch.
It was raining.
And it was raining and
somewhere.
I had to drive.
Yeah.
By the way, it turned out to be incredibly easy to sign up for Lyft.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, but I use them because cabs suck and I need to drive some and I need to get somewhere sometimes.
Yeah, by a certain time.
It's a car service.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and any conversation that we should be having about them should be as a car service.
Mm-hmm.
And too much of the conversation about them is about all of this other crappy, weird, shady stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if they actually believe that shit. They say it. So, I mean, maybe you should keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
'Cause, you know, once you say it, I start thinking maybe, hey, there's a high probability that they believe that shit that just came out of their mouth.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, there's like prostitution rings in France.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've read a couple of things about that.
Yeah.
And it's, and, you know, the bad business practices with other car services and poaching and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, I just want a car service. I just want to get from point A to point B without having it suck.
Yeah.
I really don't care about, like, I don't want to care this much about your, about my car sharing service. I don't really feel like I need to have an opinion on them.
No.
Other than, hey, yeah, that was pretty good. Or, wow, that was really bad. I won't use them again.
Yeah.
I don't want to put this much energy into a car sharing service.
No. Well, and I guess what it, I don't know. I mean, gosh.
And when a car sharing service starts asking me for this much of my time,
mm-hmm.
whether they're doing it directly or whether the people who are criticizing them are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, the people who are criticizing them are criticizing things that they are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if Uber wants, I mean, Uber does not want to be a successful, boring, quiet company.
Mm-hmm. They want to be disruptive.
Well, they're certainly disrupting things now.
I know. I feel disrupted.
But honestly, what I want is a really, like, so boringly capable car service that I don't even think about, that just does what I need them to do. And like 10 years from now, I realize, holy shit, I've been using this company for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has never occurred to me to switch to another one because they've always done the thing I expected them to do.
Yeah.
And they did it well.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what it's about anymore.
But I think, I mean, we're all in this mind fuck now where, you know, we have to go out and disrupt every, we need to, like, the way to be successful is I'm going to be a giant asshole in this space.
Yeah.
I'm going to goat see this vertical. I'm going to totally.
Go see the vertical.
I'm going to go in here and destroy this thing.
I know.
Goat see the vertical.
It's all, I know, all of their positive words are just like about destruction.
Is it no? Well, it's nobody wants to give $100 million to somebody who's just quietly going about doing a good job.
We're going to be pleasant.
We're going to provide you with a good ride.
Oh, God.
We're going to say please and thank you. Oh, I really wish we had one of those sound effects machines right now.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Seven can do that. Like we need some, like, cool stingers.
Yeah, some farts and stuff. God, my voice is raw.
Oh, yeah? You've been screaming a lot? What?
From just doing that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to goat see the vertical.
Goat see the vertical is pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
We should have a conference.
Disruption, ruption, ruption, ruption. See, they can't see what I'm doing, but that was pretty good.
Micah is, he's making two fists away from his face and pulling them out and in and out and in. Is that
So that's the title for this show, right? Goat see the vertical?
Goat see the vertical.
Okay.
G the V, yo. So anyway, I'm just I'm just on repeat. I can't even say anything anymore.
So, and before all of this started, the big news was that I think it was Uber had signed a contract with Spotify or something.
Yeah.
So that now you can play your music in our cars.
Unless it's Taylor Swift.
Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know. I don't know.
I just want to get, I just, you know
I
what?
Just wanna, I
know. I just want to be able to count on somebody getting me to the airport.
Just want to live my life. Yeah.
Twitter is building a Skyway.
Did that get approved?
I don't know if it got approved.
Okay.
But let's pretend it did.
They want to build a Skyway.
Twitter wants to build a Skyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that their people in one building don't have to go down to the street and mix with the general population and get into the next building across the street, which is their building.
The elevators at Twitter are take a long time.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Oh. Oh, no.
I know. We're not Minnesota. We can't get away with that.
So they want to build a skyway to connect both buildings so that you don't have to go down to the street and interact with the people in the part of the town that you got a tax break to help uplift.
Yeah. There's a lot of San Francisco's in a transitioning place right now.
I don't know what it's transitioning from and to.
Yeah, that's a question. But, you know, maybe.
I mean, it's kind of like when you're sick and you transition from diarrhea to solids and you think, oh, I guess I'm feeling better. I'm sorry.
Where is this going?
I don't know.
Okay. I have a design thing.
Okay.
Because you know what? It's just like, everybody has to stop.
Don't give up, Jesse.
I'm not going to give up, but I want everybody else to give up.
Do not.
Or I'm going to unfollow like every single person on Twitter. Like everybody.
Okay.
I just don't like, you know, I think it's one thing to thoughtfully express an opinion about something. And it's another thing to just be a part of the racket that's going on. I guess, you know, racket can help sometimes, but I don't know if in these particular instances that racket is being helpful. I'm just not sure. Maybe it is. I'm just grumpy right now. I'm wearing weird pants. We had a pretty good question come in to our email inbox. From a person who is interviewing for design jobs. Okay. Did you see this? Did you see this email?
No, I've been busy. I just got back from a conference.
Oh, I heard you killed it at said conference.
I did all right. So let's answer a design question.
Yeah.
Because this is a design podcast.
Well, I answered his email, but I think that it's valuable for everybody.
Okay.
And his question was about how he is interviewing for design positions. And he, you know, a lot of different job recs list, you know, like we want somebody who's great at UI UX. And then when he talks to the people, like he's been having kind of a hard time figuring out exactly what it is they're asking for. Are they asking for you to be a unicorn who can do all kinds of design? Like
they're saying that we don't know what those things are.
Yeah.
We've heard both acronyms, so we're going to put them both in the job description.
Yeah. And so for me, user experience design. Well, user experience. I have a thought on that, and I'm not sure if this is something that you agree with me on. But I don't think of user experience or UX as being like one job that a designer does. I think of user experience as being the product of the work that everybody put into something.
You are correct.
Okay, great. Because like...
User experience is a hate word. It's a self-loathing term. It's like graphic novel.
Well, I understand why people, like why UX is something to care about. Like you should care about the experience of users.
But you cannot design it.
But you can't, but yeah.
So here's the best example I ever got of this is from somebody who I saw. I think, didn't we talk about this on the show? Let's pretend we didn't. It was a conference that I did in Charlotte, the Blend conference. And I went and saw somebody else speak, and I apologize for not remembering his name. He seemed like a good guy, but he put up a slide of a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is a user interface.
Yes.
This is a UI.
Mm-hmm.
And then he put up a slide of a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
This is a user experience.
Yeah.
This is UX.
Yep.
We design UIs.
Yeah.
Which people have experiences with.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, as much as like you can inform a lot of the experience.
By the way, we should have Jared Spool on the show again because he disagrees with me on this.
Well, I think that there's truth to what both of you have to say, because I think that in one sense, like, you do inform the experience that somebody has. Like,
you try to craft an experience.
Yeah.
But the experience cannot happen without that person there, because the experience is happening to that person.
Yeah.
They are creating the experience.
Yes.
The stuff that you did is helping to craft the experience and helping the experience become a possibility. You have an intended experience that you want your customer or your user or your visitor to have.
Yeah.
And you create an interface that hopefully evokes the right experience.
Yeah, but you can do things that will definitely hinder their experience.
You certainly can.
And that's why it's just like there. You could have a perfectly designed iPhone application that was engineered terribly, and now the experience is bad.
Let's go to our favorite place, Jesse.
What's our favorite place?
Disneyland.
People keep on complaining about us talking about Disneyland.
Fuck 'em.
Yeah, that's right. I hate you guys. No, I'm not the listeners, just like specifically any of you who are rolling your eyes right now. This is our podcast.
Disneyland is the perfect example to talk about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot argue that you do not have an experience when you go to Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
They work their butts off creating experiences for you. That's their whole thing.
Yep.
And every little detail from, you know, the second floor windows on Main Street being like 3/4 as tall as the first floor windows, so that the buildings seem even taller if you're a little kid.
Yep.
All of that stuff gets thought about because they're trying to create a specific, but they're trying to create a set of experiences for people, good experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have designed the interface that makes those experiences more likely.
Yes.
And they study the experiences that people have so that they can make adjustments to the interface.
Yep.
To make sure that people are having the experiences that Disney hopes they have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I don't think that, I mean, oh gosh, And again, those experiences that people have and the design and I guess all the work that goes into that, it's not only done by like designers. It's every single person who works on it, because like I think that in that sense, when they are trying to craft an experience, you cannot only craft the experience with design.
Well, hold on a second. What's another word? What words could I use other than craft in that phrase, crafting an experience?
What do you mean? I don't know.
What could I replace the word craft with?
Create.
Okay, what else?
Produce.
What else?
Execute.
Design.
Design.
You're designing an experience for people.
Oh, yeah, but the designers are not the only people who are, I guess, who have an impact on the end experience.
You're putting your okay, go on.
So when I was relating it back to like an iPhone app, like you can have a really well designed application, but if the engineering is bad, then the experience is going to be terrible.
That's all design. That is all design.
So in that instance, you would just consider it all to be design.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So let's go back to Disneyland for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Disneyland designs interfaces that allow you to have good experiences.
Yes.
That promote good experiences.
Yes.
So they are designing things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody involved in designing that thing is by definition a designer, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's just like when it comes down to it, then like when you're hiring somebody, like, and what you really need is a contractor to build it out. Like, you're not like, I really need to hire a designer who's good at building houses. Like, I think that people have a really hard time because everybody in that sense is a designer. I think that then those who, like, hiring managers are just like, oh, well, we just need experienced designers.
Well, I think so. I'm trying to get people to understand the full breadth of what design means.
Yeah. And what.
And yeah. In our industry, typically, when people say designers, they're actually talking about people who create skin jobs.
Visual designers.
Which is a loathsome phrase. but yeah, people who do the visual stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, so like breaking,
hold on just a second. Let me finish this thought. So just like, you know, I would say that everybody here in my studio is a designer.
Mm-hmm.
They all have different skill sets, but they're like, you know, five fingers of the same hand.
Yeah.
I mean, nine fingers in this case, but.
Yeah.
So, and that is the hand that makes a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those fingers do slightly different things.
Yep.
But they're all important to, you know, being able to grip.
Yeah.
And this is visual design.
That was his middle finger.
Right. God damn, now I forgot where I was going.
Visual design is valuable also.
It is valuable. That's what I do for a living. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, the main thing I do. And, but, you know, people writing these job descriptions, you know, like, I need a designer or I need a visual designer.
It's the people that are like, I need a UX designer.
Yeah. So what they're actually looking for in these specific cases, and you just mentioned a contract.
Yeah.
But like, I need a designer who's really great at mobile interfaces.
Yeah.
So why not say that?
Because
why not get that specific?
Because I think that people, for whatever reason, have all of, like, unless you, I don't know what it is. I don't, like, I even see, like, certain people who refer to themselves as designers, like, you know, Photoshop or what have you people that call themselves UX designers. And it's like what you were saying is like, you know, it's, I think, I guess, UX being the product of the hand and and it's not a finger. UX designer is not a finger.
No,
like that's
not
just
a finger.
It's not a finger. It's the whole unit working together.
Is the entire unit working together? It takes all of those things, all of those different disciplines, all of those specialties.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't, all of those specialties don't even necessarily come from different people.
Yeah. So like, when people call themselves UX designers, it's like they're calling, like, it's like saying, I'm a design team. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah. I mean, when somebody says I'm a UX designer, I don't know what I would hire them for.
Yeah.
Like, I
think talking.
Right.
You hire them because they just talk about their feelings or something. I mean, I'm sorry if any of you identify as a UX designer, but you just should. Just don't. Just don't. The way that I break them down is like different disciplines of design as it pertains to interface design or application, web, things like that. Is like there's information architects, which are people.
Nope.
Oh, you don't
nope.
think you don't think that that's
what nope.
What is that to you?
I know enough people who are still paying student loans on going to architecture school.
Oh, I mean
that you do not get just get to pull the word architect out of your back pocket and start using it.
Well, what do you call? I guess there's people that like that design the structure of something.
Yeah.
And within that, there is more informational structure.
They're information designers.
That's great.
So keep using the word design as much as possible.
Information designers.
So my problem is when people take the word design out.
Yeah. Okay. But I like this. We have information designers.
We have information designers.
And that is, mostly, I think, more web than application-based.
So if I were working on a very content-rich site.
Like a news site?
Yeah, something with a very deep structure.
And a lot of different types of content.
Yes, I would get an information designer.
Yes.
If I were working on an application, something with a lot of interaction, something with a lot of flows, I would get an interaction designer.
Interaction designer.
Yeah.
And then the next one, I would say, is visual designer. And in my industry, I think that a lot of people do interaction and visual kind of as one. Like, yes. And that's what a UI designer is, a user interface designer, yeah. Right?
I would expect a user interface designer to both figure out how to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And delightfully so.
Yeah. Now, there are also, the you know, in larger companies or in companies that need it, sometimes you want people just to do the interaction design, just to be able to focus on that. Like, my friend Clarko does that really, really well because he's like a robot, and he just thinks about all of the different ways that things should be able to fit together.
So large companies get efficient by having people, so the more you complete the same task over and over and over every day, mm-hmm. the more efficient your company runs.
Yes.
Because it takes a certain amount of time
yeah.
to switch from task to task.
And some people who are, you know, great UI designers are maybe only sufficient for interaction. And when you have really difficult problems to work out, or when you're really trying to do something new, you really want somebody who can specialize in that area.
Yeah, and you know, it's great that there are jobs for all of those different types of people.
Yep.
And it's up to you to figure out where you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoy touching lots of different parts of a project.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty good at lots of different parts of a project.
Yeah.
Although they won't let me code anymore.
Well, and that's I guess, the last one that I think of is prototype designers.
Yeah.
Which are people who are, and that's kind of like what I'm working in right now at Facebook, as like a prototyping tool for designers. And that one is a little bit, I feel like that one is a little bit more unusual to have at smaller companies. 'Cause I'm not sure. How do you guys?
We make prototypes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's a matter of scale.
Yes.
We couldn't keep somebody as a prototype designer.
Yeah.
Busy 8 hours a day, yeah. 40 hours a week.
But that's.
So if somebody needs to make a prototype, mm-hmm. we discuss, okay, like what level of fidelity should the prototype have?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we figure out like who can make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've done prototypes in everything from like pieces of paper,
yep,
like paper prototypes to keynote prototypes, which are a piece of cake to make.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I love doing keynote prototypes.
Yeah.
And like to like full-fledged like HTML, CSS prototypes, yep. that you know, would almost be ready to launch. It also depends on what part of the project we're on.
Mm-hmm.
But in a large company, you can have people, and it probably pays to have people who are very efficient at doing one thing over and over and over.
Yeah.
At a small company, that's a terribly inefficient way to go.
Yeah. Well, it's an expensive way to go.
Right. Because you need people with a more general tendency.
Yeah.
People who can, you know, cover multiple parts of a project. And, you know, maybe there's one thing that they're really, really, really good at, and there are a bunch of things that they're pretty good at.
Yeah, you need like a thumb and an index finger.
Right.
Yeah.
So I try to load this place up with people who are pretty good at lots of things.
Two finger people?
Yeah, two finger people.
Yeah.
And who are willing to try things that they don't know if they're good at yet.
Try out a third finger?
Try out a third finger.
That's that middle finger.
We're going to a dangerous place.
It's the weird episode. It's fine.
And somehow we ended up actually talking about design.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, the thing that I react to is, like, I don't care what people call themselves. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't. But I am a designer, and this is the craft that I practice, and I love this craft, and it's a craft with thousands of years of history to it,
mm-hmm.
and it will not die on my watch. The
Web
craft
design.
Of design will not die on my watch.
Oh no, it won't.
I will not.
It's too popular right now.
Really? How many cobblers do you know?
Oh, cobblers. Personally, I don't know any cobblers.
But I mean,
I don't think, do they still call themselves cobblers? I see like signs that say shoe repair.
I feel like at some point,
yeah,
somebody decided, you know what? I don't want to be a cobbler. I want to be like a foot experience designer.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
And at that point, it was fucked for cobblers.
I think foot experience designers might be in a different type of industry.
You get my point, though. Than what we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
I love being a designer. It's an honorable fucking craft.
Just you have a one word title. Designer.
Designer.
So easy.
I never thought that it had to go beyond that.
Yeah. Now, Mike, I've been experiencing kind of similar frustration over the kinds of titles that my kinds of people...
Titles are stupid. All titles are stupid.
They're very confusing. Because what would you say my line of work is? Like, what am I? I'm a professional... What?
That's a great question. What do you consider it to be?
I don't know.
See, I don't I when I think of titles, I think of like, what's my union classification?
Yeah. And designer is great because like designer is just something you could just like put on your like Twitter bio. Like, I'm a designer. That's great. Or like if you just meet a random person and they're like, what do? You can be like, I'm a designer. And for me, it's like, I don't know. I like manage some things sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm not a manager. I mean, unless I feel like I'm not a manager unless I specifically have a management job at the time.
You ran a company for 2 years.
I did. Two and a half.
Two and a half. You ran a company.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were a total douchebag, you would call yourself an entrepreneur.
I never called myself an entrepreneur when I was an entrepreneur. I can't even say that word.
Entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. Entrepreneur. I just don't like it. I think it's stupid sounding.
There's a lot of things you do well. I mean, when you worked for us, you did sales.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
So my struggle has been similar to this whole like UX designer thing. It's just like, geez, I don't know what to call myself, and neither do people on the other side.
Yeah, that can be problematic.
Yeah.
I mean, what I've told people here,
mm-hmm,
is that while you're here, you're a designer.
Yep.
If you want to leave here...
Then we're stripping that title away from
you. No, if you want to leave here, mm-hmm, I can give you whatever title you want for your last month here.
Oh.
And then you can tell...
Why, you didn't give that to me.
Well, I just thought of it. for your last month here, you can call yourself the VP of not giving a shit.
Cobbler.
If that's going to help you get your next job.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're here, you're a designer.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, well, that's what titles are for getting your next job.
Truth. Although, doesn't always work that way.
But I don't know.
I don't know either. I think that, you know, I think that's maybe the moral of this episode is that we never really know, do we?
Titles are stupid. Basically, I want to know what would be on my union card if we actually had a union. And that's like a classification.
Mm-hmm.
And mine would say designer.
What would mine say?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's for me to find out.
Clerical.
Weirdo.
Manager? No, we wouldn't let you in the union then. Not if you were management.
Yeah.
Get off my podcast. I can't do a podcast with management.
Can I just want to be like, I want my business card to like say Jesse Char and like in big bold letters, and then in the smaller, less bold letters, I just want it to also say Jesse Char. Just like, because that's what I am.
Jesse Char, moneymaker.
Thinker. Entrepreneur.
Thinkfluencer.
Thinkfluencer?
Thinkfluencer. Oh, we got to say goodbye to the people, Jesse.
We have to. All right, everybody.
We do. We have to.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Don't be bitchy on Twitter.
Try to be a little nicer to each other.
Just be nice. Just be understanding. Be cool, everybody.
And never forget that Jesse Char defended the Ku Klux Klan on this show.
Oh, please.
Jesus, what was that?
You should just all read all of John Ronson's books because they're fantastic.
Well, I see what they did to you.
I like learning about the way other people think. Can that be my job title?
Actually, Jesse, it's about ethics and podcasting.
It's about ethics and podcasting.
It's about ethics and podcasting. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.